Thank you, preacher. Would you open your Bibles, the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans, chapter number 13. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be with y'all. Thank you very much. Romans, chapter 13. My family did not travel with me. I have a wonderful wife and five children, and God's been very good to me. My oldest daughter, she just got married, and her and her husband are missionaries with us going to Canada. And so I'm very thankful and grateful for that. And so I've still got four at home, and two teenage daughters, and then two what we would call our littles. That's our 9-year-old and just turned 11-year-old. And so we have kind of family A and family B, our two younger, and then we've got teenagers. And it's nice because we're at a moment or a season of life right now that our older girls take care of the younger ones many times and lets my wife and I get away for a date and have a good old time. So I'm very grateful for that. God's been good to us. If on your way out, on your left-hand side, there's some of our prayer cards. If you didn't get one of those, I'd love for you to grab one of those, and we'd appreciate your prayer very, very kindly. Romans chapter 13 in your Bible, and we're going to read just a couple verses here. Romans chapter 13, towards the end of the chapter, verse number 10, all the way down to verse number 14, the Bible says this, Romans chapter 13, verse number 10. Love, it worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. For a long time, to be quite honest, I wasn't exactly sure. What did that mean? It kind of mixed me up. I thought, Lord, I'm not exactly sure what that means. In other words, simply put, and a lot of times when we don't understand maybe a portion of God's word, it's not on God's problem. It's maybe on our understanding, right? And God's clear. But for a long time, I thought, Lord, what is that supposed to mean? Our salvation's near. In other words, the time for our Lord to come take us out of this world, to forever be with him, it's a lot closer now than it was when I got saved when I was in high school. And so it's a lot closer now, and we'd say, well, of course we understand that, and that's simply what it's meaning. It's drawing nigh, it's much closer than what it was when we first believed. Now, the Bible says this in verse number 12, the night it is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and whatness, not in strife and envying, verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, beautiful passage of scripture, and like much, we can pull out so many wonderful things, but I want to draw your attention, if we could, back up to verse number 11. The Bible says this, and that knowing the time. If you have a pen and right there, would you underline, if you have your own Bible, knowing the time. Do you realize what time it is? Some of you are looking like, yeah, almost time for lunch. Can you hurry this baby up? I know that, but do you realize what time it is? Not specifically today. Do you realize what time it is in life? You know, if we ran to the Word of God, I wrote down several verses to read to you, but the Bible says much about our time. The Bible says much about our life, the brevity of it. In fact, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible said that life is like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. The Bible teaches us in the book of Psalms, chapter 103, that life is as dust. In other words, if there were dust and you just wiped it off and all of a sudden it's gone, that's how our life is. The Bible says in Job, chapter 7, that life is as wind. In other words, you can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. You know it's there, and all of a sudden, within a matter of minutes, all of a sudden it's gone. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, that life is as grass. In other words, beautiful, it's green, it's wonderful, but all of a sudden, here comes winter and it goes brown, or you get the mower and you cut it off and it's gone. The Bible said that our life, according to Psalms chapter number 89, that life is like vanity. Vanity is something that you can't really grab a hold of. It's like if a stream was going by and I grabbed a hold of some water, I said, look how clear it is. All of a sudden it goes through my fingertips and right out the side of my hand. You can't really grab a hold of it. And he said, that's what life is. Everybody tries to grab a hold of it. This is what I want. This is, but you can't grab a hold of it. The Bible teaches us in Psalms chapter 103 that life is as a flower. In other words, it's beautiful. Right now it's springtime. I mean, just gorgeous. Everything's shooting up. not long ago in where we live in Georgia, everything shot up and beautiful and started blooming and it was just wonderful. And then all of a sudden another frost happened and all those, you know, beautiful flowers, they just died real quick. And the Bible says, and that's how life is. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's the prime. It just looks good. And all of a sudden it's gone. The Bible says that in Job chapter 8, that life is like a shadow. If the sun was up and it was pointing at me, you could see my shadow back there. And all of a sudden, within a minute, whether I move or the sun goes up or down or whatever it may be, all of a sudden my shadow is gone. He said, that's how life is. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 14 that life is like spilled water. If I was using a cup of water and I said, look at this cup of water, and I dropped it, and I said, oh man, and I grabbed the cup and I tried to push it all in there, I couldn't get all of the water back in there. It's gone. It soaks in the carpet or maybe outside in the grass or whatever. You can't get it all back in. And that's how we use our life, and it goes by quickly, and we say, but let me grab a hold of it, and it's already gone. Therefore, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 90, verse number 9, that life is like a story or a tale that's told. I read biographies, and my children, we have a bunch of biographies on my desk right next to the bed, and we'll go through different ones. They're children biographies of missionaries. We'll go through, we'll read about William Carey, and in 15 minutes, his entire life, all that he did for the Lord, all that he was, where he was born, how he served in India, it's all done in 15 minutes. The Bible said, that's what our life is like. It's a story, all of a sudden it's told, you remember when, and it's just gone. And therefore, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 90, verse number 12, teach us to number our days. So I ask you this. Do you know what time it is? He said, knowing the time. What time? What time it is right now? In other words, your life is going by quickly. I remember when I was a kid, it seemed like Christmas was every 2 or 3 years. You know, I mean, I just couldn't wait. And then when Christmas happened, you know, Christmas Day was over. And before the day was over, I had a pen and paper. And buddy, I was ready for next year. All right, Dad, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. I mean, I was ready for it. Now I've got 5 children. Christmas is every 2.5, 3 months, you know? I mean, I got a birthday every week, and I got to get a second job for this, you know? Like, good night, where did it go? I remember when we first got married, I mean, just wonderful. And then a year after we got married, we're getting ready to have our first little baby girl. And I thought, Lord, I don't know that I'm a good husband. Now I'm going to be a dad. I mean, are you okay with this, Lord? Did you make the right decision here? And man, I was scared to death. The little baby was born, and we took her home. We took Lydia, put her in a little bassinet right next to the bed. And in the middle of the night, you know, normally I'm a heavy sleeper. In the middle of the night, she'd whimper. And man, I wasn't used to it. I'd jump up and I'm like, and I'd grab the baby and I'd turn over and I'd give her to my wife. And I said, I think she's hungry. My wife said, I just fed her 10 minutes ago. I'm like, she must be hungry again. I don't know what to do, you know? Like, I hadn't had a baby before, you know? It was all new to me. And now I look and my daughter, she just got married to a big goon. No, I'm just kidding. To a really good guy, you know, in case he hears it. You know, she got married just a couple months ago. I think, Lord, where did the time go? And boy, it goes by fast, doesn't it? We look back and we remember when. This is what the Bible says. Do you know what time it is? Not only about our lives going by quickly, but also about the Lord returning. He says, a thief in the night. At any moment, our Lord can come. We know the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, at any moment, twinkling of an eye, our Lord can come. We know all the verses. We know all about it. As in the days of Noah, when they were living and drinking, partying, giving into marriage, everything was normal. All of a sudden, here comes the flood. And he said, that's how the Lord's coming is. I remember when I was a new Christian, I got saved in high school, and man, it seemed like everything was new, and my pastor would preach, and I remember when he would preach, it seemed like every other message was about the Lord's coming. I know it wasn't, but I mean, that's what it seemed to me. And as a high schooler, I thought, Lord, whatever you want, God, I'll give you my all. God, I so believed that Jesus was coming. I was reading my Bible. My pastor was preaching. I thought, Lord, I believe so much, God, that I'm willing to sell out. I'm willing to do absolutely anything for you. I so believed it. God, you could have everything. I was willing to sell everything. I lived with my parents. I didn't have to sell a lot, you know. But anyway, I was willing to get rid of it all because I so believed that the Lord was coming back. But now I've got children. Now I've got to mow the lawn and change the oil and run the kids to here and, you know, go do this and, you know, take care of things around the house. And I get so busy, it's almost like I'm living my life. And I know theoretically the Lord's coming, but I live my life as if He's not really coming. And I don't point any fingers to you, dear friend, but this is what the Bible says. I know my life. I know how guilty I am. This is what the Bible says. Do you know what time it is? Oh, yeah, I know the Lord's coming. Oh, yeah, I know my life is short. How about the days being evil? The Bible says to teach us to number our days. It says in Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:5, it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. You realize how wicked it is out there? If you want to look whatever way you want to look at it, socially or morally or spiritually or whatever it is, boy, our world's not getting better. It seems like it's getting worse and worse, farther and further away from God. And this is what he says, do you know what time it is? Do you realize your life is going by quickly? Do you realize the Lord's coming back? Do you realize all about how wicked the world is? Do you know what time it is? Well, look what it says in verse number 11. And that knowing the time, look at this next section here, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. He said, do you know what time it is? We say, oh yeah, I know that my life is going by quickly. And I look back and I say, wow, where did time go? Oh, I know that the Lord is coming back. I realize that. And I know how wicked the world, I know all about that. And he said, good. I don't really care about theory. I don't want you to just have something here in your head. Do you know what time it is? Yeah, we know, Lord. And he says, good. Then it's high time to awake. I don't think he's talking about a physical, wake up, you know, open up your eyes, you know. And I think he's talking about a spiritual state in which many of us live. An apathy, a nonchalantness, an uncaring. And I don't say that to you at all, dear friend. I'm not pointing any fingers. I don't know you well enough. And if I point one at you, I got three or four looking back at this ugly mug. I do say that how many times I go to the grocery store, to the gas station or whatever, I see people walking around all over and it's like, how you doing? And I keep moving, almost not even realizing, acting as if I don't even know that they're going to spend eternity somewhere. That many of the people, according to Matthew chapter 7, they're on their wide way to a place called destruction, a place called hell. And the Bible says, hey, it's time to wake up. Time to use your time wisely. Time to wake up and realize what's going on. So he says, you know what time it is? Oh, yeah, we got it. He says, good. Then it's time to awake. What is that we use in the morning to wake us up? Somebody help me out. What do we use to wake us up? Alarm. Right, that alarm clock. How many of you like an alarm clock? Raise your hand. Anybody like an alarm clock? All right, we've got two sick people with us this morning. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't like my alarm clock. You know, when I was a kid, it was like one sound. Nyeh, nyeh, nyeh. And I'm like, shut up. You know, get a break. Like, boo. You know, like, be quiet. You know, even the popular days, you know, Nickelodeon alarm clock. Hello, that was good. But even, I mean, it stunk. The whole sound, everything. Now we're living in the days of, you know, smartphones. And you could change the, you know, your alarm now is the birds chirping outside, or it's the waterfalls, you know, or it's your favorite Bible verse, or now all of a sudden, you know, your favorite psalm comes on. Whatever it is, it now comes on. But let's be honest, it doesn't matter what it is, an alarm stinks. You know why? Alarm has two specific things about it. First of all, what an alarm does is disturbs what you're currently doing. You know what you're doing? You are resting. You are relaxing. You are dreaming. You are enjoying life. No stress, no worries. Everything is wonderful. And then here comes beep, beep, like, ah, wakes you up. I remember my family and I, we served as missionaries in Argentina. And when we were in Argentina, there was a lot of petty theft. In other words, people would come and, I mean, it seemed like all the time stuff was stolen from whether outside of our house or outside of the church. They would break in our church and steal sound equipment, and they would steal chairs and, you know, all kinds of little things. There was a lot. You know, most of it was all petty theft. And because of it, we had an alarm system on our house. And, buddy, when that alarm system went off, I mean, it went off. Whoop, whoop, whoop. The whole neighborhood heard. And many times my wife would say, honey, turn it off. It's so loud. Our neighbors are going to get mad. And I would say, dear, I want them to know. Leave it on for another minute. I want them to know I've got an alarm. May everybody know. Now I live in Georgia, and you might not like this, and I apologize. But now I'll go down in the woods, and I'll shoot different guns. And my wife said, what if our neighbors don't like that? And I said, no, I want everybody to know that this man has a gun. You're like, stay away from me. You're like, I want my privacy. You know? But anyway, my alarm would go, whoop, whoop. Many times my alarm would go off in the middle of the night. And I remember one specific time, it would seem like it went off a lot in the middle of the night, you know, when you're dead asleep, when everything's perfect, you know. And I remember one night that, you know, I was in the middle of a good rest, I was relaxing, and all of a sudden my alarm went off. Now, in my alarm, you know, when I'm dreaming, usually I'm the hero of my own dream. You say, that's pretty egotistical. Have your own dream. I said, it's my dream. You know, like, you do what you want here. But anyway, I'm in the middle of my dream. I don't even know what I was dreaming, but I was dreaming something. And let's say that, you know, since I've got these crazy dreams that I'm the hero of my dream, you know, let's say that it was a burning building and, you know, I ran up the sixth floor and I've got a couple kids in my hand. I'm saving them and I'm jumping out of the building. And during that time, all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, well, I'm a heavy sleeper. And so the alarm went right into my dream. You know, I mean, I think maybe it was going to blow up, or probably saw too many movies, you know, so it was going to blow up and I'm getting ready to jump out, you know, with the kids under my hand as the building burns, you know, and whoop, and all of a sudden I feel boom and someone hits my chest. I'm like, what going on? And my wife said, somebody's in our house. And I'm like, call your dad. Like, I don't want, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, somebody's in my house. And so I remember, you know, I'm kind of still dazed, like, what just happened? I mean, I was dreaming. Everything was perfect. I was relaxed. I was sleeping, everything. And all of a sudden my wife hits me. Somebody's in our house. And so I remember looking around, you know, I'm kind of still waking up. My wife said, somebody's in the house. Go check. I'm like, I'll stay with the kids. You go check. You know, like, I ain't going down there. We lived on our house had like a loft area right here, and underneath there was three bedrooms, and underneath here, here's the living room right here, and underneath that, right here, that's the kitchen, that's the dining room, that's the other section. And so I remember my wife said, somebody's in here, go check. I'm like, okay. So I remember I started to walk down the stairs, and as I'm walking down the stairs, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to die. Lord, what is going on? This is just a bad idea. Somebody's going to be around the corner, going to hit me with a bat. Like, Lord, let me die in my sleep. I don't want to die with something in my face, you know? Come on, Lord. So I'm walking down the stairs. As I get to the bottom of the stairs, I turn the corner, and as I turn the corner, the panel's on the wall. I remember going up the panel, and I put in the number, and I turned it off, and it says right there what zone it is. So it'll say, you know, sometimes we had, our windows would open, there's a magnetic strip right there, and it would go off, and, you know, sometimes it was silly things that the fan had hit, you know, something, and it moved, and it went off. Well, this time it said the zone, I don't remember if it was zone three or whatever, it was the back house. And in Argentina, you have your house, and then you almost have like a garage in the back. So it would be separate from the house. And in that area, that's where they do a lot of the grilling so that your house doesn't smell and, you know, get smoky and whatever. They do a lot of grilling because they have a lot of beef in Argentina. So in that back house, that's where they do everything. Well, the alarm's going off, and it said it was the back house. And I'm like, of course it's the back house. That's my luck. You know, I mean, can't be something normal. Can't be something simple. I've got to go to the back house, and here I go. So, you know, I didn't have exactly a good attitude. It's 3:30, 4 a.m., and I'm, you know, walking around pushing that. And so I open the back door, and I'm walking outside, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to die. You know, I don't know what you do when you're afraid. I usually sing to myself, oh, Jesus, I'm going to die tonight. You know, I make up my own songs, you know. Lord, what am I doing? You know, and I'm walking back there. So I finally get back, and, you know, this is a garage area, and it's usually got a little kitchenette with the bathroom. It's got the grill right there, and then it'll have a little side room that if you want to use it for a desk or whatever. And so I walk back there. I push open that door, and I jump back. I don't know why I jumped back. I just thought, you know, maybe if somebody's in there, he like takes off running like, oh no, they opened the door, you know, took off running like, I don't know, cockroach or something. I don't know. But anyway, I open the door. Nobody comes out. I'm like, what am I doing? So I flipped on the light and I stand there and I waited. I finally walk in. I'm still scared to death. So I put myself in my karate move, Jackie Chan, you know, like I have no idea. Just in case you're wondering, I do have a black belt on today, you know, but I know nothing about karate, but I'm in my karate move just like, so maybe a guy is, you know, he sees me, he's like, he knows karate, you know, he like runs away. I don't know. But anyway, I'm in there, get ready to turn the corner. And as I get ready to turn the corner, it goes almost like this. It's about four, maybe five steps up because it's right about eye level, about five steps up. There's a little landing. And it's probably about 5 foot by, you know, 3 foot or something. It's a landing. Goes up five more steps. That's where the little loft, that's that little extra area that you can put your desk. And so I remember I'm going around, and as I walk around the corner, I get ready, eye level right there. I get ready to turn around, and as I go around that corner, all of a sudden, at eye level, there's a black cat. And he jumps at my face. Woo! And man, he was scared to death. I was scared. Man, I'm jumping. And I am, you know, I'm going nuts. Like, what is going on? The cat, you know, hits the ground. He scrapes over and whoom, he takes off. And, you know, it takes me a while to wind down. You know, and so I walk back in the house, close the door, turn off the light, walk back upstairs. As I walk back upstairs, I go to tell my wife, and my wife said, is everything okay? I'm like, we're playing charade tonight. This is great. And I'm like, so anyway, we get it out. My wife, she's a very light sleeper. Within 5 seconds, she's like, oh, okay, good. She turns over. She's out. You know, here I am the rest of the night staring at the ceiling. You know what? That totally messed up my night. You know what that alarm did when it sounded out so strong? It disturbed everything I was doing. My sleep, my rest, my dreaming, my relaxing, everything. Now listen to this. And as the word of God cries out and it screams out, throwing the alarm, it said, time to awake. But Lord, I know you're coming back. He said, no, it's time to wake. I want to disturb the way that you're living, the way that you're thinking, all that you're doing. I want you to reevaluate your life. So an alarm, it serves to disturb what you're currently doing or thinking. But not only does it serve to disturb it, it also calls you into action. All of us have our different routines in the morning. When I was a kid, my alarm was called my mom. And so my mom would walk in and she would open. My brother and I, we lived in a trailer up in the woods. And it was my brother and I, we shared a bedroom. My parents had a bedroom. My other two sisters, they shared a bedroom. My mom would walk in, she'd open the door. And, boys, time to get up. And, you know, my brother and I, sadly, we knew all the way to the extent of my parents' wrath. And so my mom would walk in, boys, get up. We'd like, and my mom would walk out and boom, we're right back to sleep, man. We ain't about to get up. I mean, this is the first encounter. Go back to sleep. And so she'd come back in. I don't know if she waited 5-10 minutes and she'd walk back in. And this time her tone would raise and she'd be a little bit more, you know, demanding. And she'd say, boys, I said get up. And we'd almost sit up on the bed. You know, eyes still closed. You know, you're saying, but, you know, you think that you're saying, okay, mom, here I go. I'm getting up now. But it really, as it comes out, it's like, and so you're just saying something. And then all of a sudden, my mom walks out. Boom, we go right back to sleep. Well, the third time, me and our household growing up, third time meant, if I come in here, you will both die. And I didn't want to die as a kid. And so my mom, the next one, you know, we went right back to sleep. Next one, all I remember is doorknob turns and like God sends some electric shock in my body. And as the doorknob turns, door opens, and me and my brother both, okay, mom, we're up. You know, we were standing up, we were wide awake. We'd go in the bathroom, we put water on our face, you know, we'd go get some breakfast, get the book bag, put it on, get ready, head out for school. Everybody's got their routine. Today, I don't have to, you know, go eat breakfast, do that. I do have to get caffeine in my body, makes me feel better, makes me wake up, or, you know, but everybody's got their, but that call, that alarm, that get up, it required you to jump into action. Now listen to this. As the word of God, it cries out. He says, do you know what time? Oh, yeah, Lord, I know you're coming back. Oh, yeah, Lord, I know that at any moment, God, that you can come back or that my life is short or that days are. I know all about it. He said, good, it's time to awake. I want to disturb the way that you're living and thinking, and I want to call you into action. Listen, dear friends, do you know as our Lord Jesus Christ, he ascended up to heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as he ascends up to heaven, he gives us what we know as the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Luke 24 and John 20, 21, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. As he gets ready, he ascends up to heaven. He gives us the Great Commission. And do you know the Great Commission, take the gospel all around the world? It is not an option to be considered. It's a command that must be obeyed. And our Lord cries out and he says, listen, I want you to wake up. But why, Lord? Not so that we can sit around idly, yet to call us into action and say, get moving. You realize while you and I speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ, most of the world has never heard of the first coming of Jesus Christ. They don't know. And our Lord said, how are they supposed to know in South Africa? And how are your neighbors supposed to know? And how are the people over in Hagerstown supposed to know? How are people everywhere supposed to know if you don't open your mouth? Here we do it locally by handing out a tract, by inviting them to church, by calling them, by texting them, by putting out a sign, whatever it may be. And globally we do it by praying and sending forth missionaries, by giving of our own lives, by giving of our children if that's what God wants. What does God want from us? And in that passage, very quickly, look at it. The Bible says this in verse number 12. The night it's far spent, the day it's at hand. Because of, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. Verse number 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, pay attention. It says to cast off, to get rid of, and to put on. This is a principle throughout the Word of God. We can go, and I believe it's in Colossians 3 and James chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 4, five different times throughout the Word of God, it says to cast off and to put on, to take off, to put on. God says, what is stopping you from giving your all to Jesus? And dear friends, respectfully, I ask you, what is stopping you as the alarm sounds? What is stopping you from saying, God, if you want my children, they're all yours. God, if you want my grandchildren, God, I'll pray that you can have their lives. God, if you want my life, you can have it. God, if you want of my goods, you can have them. God, if you want my talent, or if you want my time, or God, whatever it is, you pinpoint it, God. It is all yours. I'll cast off anything that's standing in the way. What is in the way? Respectfully, dear friends, what is stopping you from going all in to serve Jesus? What is stopping you to say, God, I am totally committed. God, all of my life is yours. It all belongs to you, God. I will withhold nothing from you, God, absolutely anything. You know, many people are stopping their lives. Maybe there's things that are stopping them from getting saved, but many Christians, there's things stopping us from surrendering and going all in. As the alarm sounds, dear friend, what is stopping us from saying, God, my life is yours? You know, many times we think that God wants my money. No, dear friend, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns all the hills that the cattle are standing on. God doesn't need your money, lest you think that we're in a time of this is just about money. No, dear friend, God wants your heart, and everything else will fall into place. Whether your time or giving of your talent or of your life or of your kids or of your grand, you will withhold absolutely nothing if God has your heart. He wants your heart. So the passage starts off this way. Do you know what time it is? Oh, yeah, we got it, Lord. I know that my life's going by quickly. I know that you're coming back soon, Lord. I know that the day, I know all about that, Lord. And he says, good. Now that you know, it's time to do something about it. The alarm goes off, disturbing the way you're doing, living, thinking, all about you. And now he calls you into action. Would you be willing to serve God? Would you be willing to say, God, I praise God that you're here faithfully on a Sunday morning when our world is in panic. I realize all that, dear friend. I know you are the faithful, chosen. I mean, you're great. Praise God for it. But what is stopping us from going all in, saying, God, absolutely anything. You could have all of my life. You say, I'm all surrendered. Praise God. Then whatever God wants, then let him lead you. I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a little, like a nursery rhyme. It would say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I wake before I die, anybody ever heard that? Remember? Okay, let me read another rendition to you. And this one is to make us think. It's the exact same one, but it's written a little bit differently. Allow me to read it to you, and it says it this way. Too long I've laid me down to sleep and prayed the Lord my soul to keep. I should wake before I die and realize time is passing by. And rise and go and tell the lost, despite my plans and despite the cost. Too long I've laid me down to sleep, while multitudes about me weep, and utter cries of dark despair, while many do not seem to care. My life is short, and soon I'll stand with sinner's blood upon my hand, unless I wake before I die, and realize time is passing by. Dear friend, you realize what time it is? The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, he says, knowing the time, he says, good, now it's high time. Theory does us absolutely no good. I remember when I was younger, my dad would say, son, I told you to do it. I know. And my answer was, I know. And my dad would get frustrated and say, do not say you know if you're not going to do it. And I thought, what's the big deal? I'm just chill out, dad. Now I've got 5 kids. And I'll say, buddy, you know I told you not to do that. Yeah, I know. I'm like, no. You don't know. Don't say you know. Because if you did know, you would do it. And we say, oh, okay, I get it. But how many times to the Lord? Yeah, I know you're coming back, Lord. Yeah, I know my life's short. Yeah, I know the days are weird. Yeah, Lord, I know all about it. He says, no. I don't want you to have a theory right here. If you know, then let's put it into action. Let's let him disturb the way we're living. Is there anything stopping it? Anything between my soul and the Savior, then let's move it to the side. Let's cast it off. And let's let him call us into action. You see, every one of us have friends and families and neighbors and coworkers. Every one of us have somebody that we could tell about Jesus. May nothing stop us. May we share the gospel around our area. And may we help get the gospel around the world. Why? It's time to awake. Can we pray? Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. Thank you. Lord, use